From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Welcome to Inside High School Sports. And yes, it's a different voice you hear. I'm Tom Prince. Unfortunately, Tony Caligiuri is not able to join us today. He's out sick. And boy, Tony, I know you're listening, and I hope that you feel better. That's first and most priority right now. I am joined here by, you know it, Roger Weiss. Roger,
boy, good morning. Glad you cleared that up. I was going to say, Tony, that makeover you got looks good.
And then today, we're also going to be joined by the state championship volleyball team out of Grand Island. We're going to be joined by Coach Bill Schultz, Coach Sean Quinn, Zach Kramer, Billy Weaver, and Dave Wynn is going to join us here on the air, and we're going to talk about them in the next segment. We've got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, you think? About, 5,280 tip-off tournaments going on. We have the Conley Cup luncheon later this afternoon at Ilio DiPaolo's in Blaisdell. We had the Trench Trophy Awards dinner at the Elks Club in Lancaster, and congratulations to, I gotta say it right because we've been saying Terry on all year, to Ryan Vernon from Maritime Charter / Health Science for winning the Trench Trophy. Outstanding choice. I agree with the committee wholeheartedly. I saw this guy play a few times. Man amongst boys, congratulations to him, and congratulations to the Elks Committee for another fine year. What can we say? Football season winding down. Again, the Conley Cup today, and we'll have the banquet, 2-3 weeks from today, the 28th?
Yep.
The Saturday between the holidays.
And I'm so glad to know that Dick is going to be able to be there to host his event.
Oh, yeah. He was there at the I'm sure yep. He'll be there this afternoon. He was at the trench as well.
Yep. We've been making sure we made sure he's been on all our prayers and our best wishes.
Dennis Sorrow as well.
Dennis, the same thing. Both we talked about, remember, last week, making sure that we were wishing them to help
you. It's my understanding Dennis will be there this afternoon.
Good. And like I said, two incredible ambassadors to high school sports, and we follow everything when it comes to their health and make sure that they do better and are on the road to recovery.
And I just want to mention, Anthony, you can listen with your mouth full, but don't try to talk with your mouth full.
I also had the opportunity last night to be at the Section 6 Hall of Fame, where I've got the chance to interview every member that got inducted last night. And boy, there are some amazing stories out there. There really are. And I'd like to just take a moment to wish those people huge congratulations. Cheryl Bailey, Robert Barzak, Bill Berge, Paul Barkowski, Tommy Colella, Peter Digert, Joe Ehrman, Fran Haggerty, Richard Harvey, Ron Jaworski, that's a name everybody should know.
Jaws.
Hal Rupert, Janice Sackett Williams, Charles Sen, Chuck Sen Sr., and Bill Stedman. Some incredible stories there. You listen to some of these records and various things out there. It is absolutely amazing what these people have accomplished, and a very, very deserving class of people for the Section 6 Hall of Fame.
Yeah, three former NFL players. Ron Jaworski, of course. Bill Berge was a linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals. And Joe Ehrman, class of, I believe, 1967, out of Riverside High School, played college football down I-90 at Syracuse and had quite a career with the Baltimore Colts before they moved to Indianapolis. Yeah, I know you youngins is looking at me saying, Baltimore Colts, what's his problem? But yeah, they used to be in Baltimore, and the Baltimore Ravens used to be the original Cleveland Browns. Little geography lesson for you guys. There will be a test at 11:15 this morning.
And there were some great interviews. And if you go to Western New York Athletics Facebook page, you'll get a chance to see and hear some of their stories. I got a chance to interview every single candidate that was there at the event, and it was just amazing to listen to some of the stories from coaching standpoint. I know we got some coaches here, but I mean, you got to hear some of the records that some of these we had a rifle coach. 621 wins and 68 losses in his career. I mean, absolutely amazing when you hear some of the different things. I had a cross-country coach that only had 3 losses. 63-3 as a cross-country coach. Wow. I mean, you hear just some of the records here, and it was just absolutely amazing as what's been accomplished. And definitely want to just say what an amazing night. And then one of the big ones, which was close to my heart, Chuck Sens Sr. at Cattaraugus Little Valley, and here's a baseball coach, 604 wins that he's had, a 640 winning percentage as a coach is just absolutely amazing. And he told a story last night, which I really love as being a baseball guy. He tells the story of one of his fond memories that this absolute stud pitcher was pitching against him. And he's like, listen, we just weren't going to hit this guy no matter what he did. And he actually bunted 5 times in a row is what he did. So he literally used the bunt to help him out, went back to the regular hitting, couldn't hit again, so bunted more. And he just kept bunting. And he ended up winning the game by bunting is what he said. And he said fans were all on his case going, is that all you do is know how to bunt? And he says, yeah, against this kid, that's all we can do. And it ended up being a big win for him.
It must have been defensively. The team with the good pitcher wasn't capable of playing defense. Maybe the pitcher was so good they never had an opportunity during the year. But, you know, there's always way around, barriers.
Yeah.
Especially in baseball. I know with you I'm preaching to the choir. Who am I to try to give opinions to you? You're the Western New York High School guru when it comes to baseball. But still, hey, you do what you have to do. And that was legal yet, you know. It wasn't even underhanded. Some of these guys get so desperate, they'll do anything. And what rules? You know, the only rules are there aren't no rules.
Exactly.
But more congratulations. Tom, by the way, that rifle coach you were talking about, I mean, his winning percentage was only 90. What was his problem with the other 10? That's amazing.
It really is. Oh. And that's what was so fun about the event is that you really got a chance to just talk to different coaches. And every one of them, it was about the kids. It was about having great kids. And I know, Coach, we're going to talk about this very shortly, and you're going to tell me something very similar, which is just when you get great kids, it becomes a great program. We do great things. And that's absolutely the theme we heard constantly all throughout the night. And if you get a chance, really, take a look at some of the interviews, because there are some fantastic people out there that deserve credit for some fantastic careers. We even have one coach who has coached national teams for soccer. She's part of gold medal teams. She's a part of some amazing things that's out there. There are some really good interviews. Take a chance to listen to them. So, Coach, you wanted to add something?
No, I agree. We wouldn't have gone as far as we did without the athletes I got. I mean, they came in, they went to work and played hard every day, and we went to a state title this year.
Yeah, and every one of them, you could see they had a vision along the way, right? What's the vision? What's our goal? What's common? How we're going to do it? And when everyone truly believes in that, it brings a team together, and you can accomplish amazing things.
Yeah, I think our goal this year was, you know, trying to get out of our area because this area is pretty strong with volleyball. So to get through Eden and then get to regionals, and then we went to get regionals and beat Churchville Chilai to go to states, it was just like, oh, this is awesome. We're going to keep going and keep going and keep going. And then we punched the state title.
That's awesome.
That's the one thing, Tom, you know. And yes, I have my favorites throughout the section and all that, but I have to be impartial, you know. So do not show lack of objectivity, and so as happy as you are for the teams that win the section, there's a little thing that says, oh, you know, you feel bad for the team, especially the team that loses the sectional final, you know. And I say lose. There's no such thing as a loser when you get to that point. It's a winner and a runner-up. But, boy, once you go to the Far West Regional, you can be a fan as much as a reporter. Yeah, they win. It feels so good. Then you go to the and I'm using football now, or in football, you have a Eastern semi and a Western semi. They win there, and it says, "Boy, we're going to the Carrier Dome. We're going to the Carrier Dome." And then, and Tom can tell you if he had half an eye on me after CSP won that football game. You know, I'm like a kid out there. You know, I'm hugging all the players, and like I say, I can be a fan instead of I have to be objective and all that. No, not when I get to that point. I don't have to be. And I'm as happy for you guys. I wasn't there, but I'm happy for you. I know what it's like, what you went through, and the emotions you must have had. Well, I just saw on the video after that last spike. I've seen that over and over and over. So, guys, congratulations.
Thanks. So before we go to the break, we also got to go to the G&G Coach of the Week. Right? Sponsored by G&G Fitness Equipment. You could go to livefit.com to sponsor or to nominate any coach that you feel deserves to be Coach of the Week. Coach, you may have heard your name. We've actually announced you as Coach of the Week. Oh, yeah. Last week we announced you as Coach of the Week. It was last week. This week it'll be to our football state championship CSP, and Ty Harper is Coach G&G Coach of the Week this week. And Coach, we named you last week, so that was when we found out about your state championship. And Coach Ty Harper, what an amazing accomplishment that you did for CSP, and that's what we were talking about at the Carrier Dome as our only public state championship. And we've also got the opportunity to recognize Coach Rich Robbins, who we had last week here from Canisius with their state championship win.
Yes, and we will have Ty Harper and a few of his players in 3 weeks from today, December 28th, Saturday. That'll be right before Dick Gallagher's annual high school football banquet. So they'll be making the trip up anyway from Clymer, Sherman, Panama, wherever. And we will have Coach Harper and I imagine Cam Barmore and
Garrett Hinsdale.
Hinsdale, amongst others. I hope they bring my favorite line person from that team, Sarah Watson. You never know. But we'll be happy to have them. And congratulations, Ty.
Yes, no doubt, a huge accomplishment, and I got the chance to actually do color commentary on that call, and it was just a fun game to watch. They dominated from beginning to end. It was an amazing game to witness.
Not from beginning to end. They were 3-and-out on that first offensive
first
play. I'm still waiting for Ty to explain that to me.
Yeah, I actually got a chance to call two games that weekend, and then the second game I got to do the color for the Cornwall Dragons, my alma mater, and they got a chance to also defend their state championship. What people didn't realize is on day one, we had CSP, we had Cornwall, and then we had Susquehanna Valley all defend state championships on that same day. Every game was a defense of the state championship, and every single one of them won.
And to show you how good Susquehanna Valley is, they beat Southwestern. We all know how good Southwestern was this year.
So and then
in the Far West, excuse me, in the West semifinal. Sorry for interrupting.
No. And then before we go to the break, Western New York Athletics has released its large school as well as small school player of the years, as well as their first and second defensive team for football. A quick update: player of the year, large schools, Jake Ritz; offensive player of the year, Xavier Janslick; defensive player of the year, C.J. Oslins. Special Teams Player of the Year, Joe Carlson. Lineman Player of the Year, Eric Schoen. And the Coach of the Year, Rich Robbins. There's your large school Player of the Years. And then on the small school, their Player of the Year, Cam Barmore for CSP. Offensive Player of the Year, Taiwan Wright. Defensive Player of the Year, your Trench Trophy winner, Teron Vernon. Special teams player of the year. Boy, this kid is just unbelievable. Addison Copeland from Maritime also. Lineman player of the year, Cooper Panis. And coach of the year was co-coach of the year with Ty Harper / Joe Licata. So from there, we'll come back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR 550. We'll be back right after the break to talk more to our state championship team from Grand Island. We are back here at Inside High School Sports, and we are joined by Roger Weiss, which everybody knows, but we had someone else come in at the break. Kyrie Demos is here, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about this Grand Island team as he's had a chance to cover him. And again, we've got Coach Bill Schultz, Coach Sean Quinn, Zach Kramer, center, Billy Weaver, outside hitter, Dave Wynn, libero, which we're going to talk a little bit about, right? Because that's the first thing we don't. When I first heard it, I didn't know what it was, but we're going to talk about it. He's more of a back row player, a defensive specialist, somebody who will receive the ball, but mainly you're going to be talking about as a defensive player, and we're going to talk a little bit about that position. But Kyrie, you got a chance to actually cover this team, so you saw the everything they went through on this way to a state championship. What did you see this year?
Man, I really just saw a team that, you know, really was together throughout the whole process, and you know, to see the steps that they took along the way. You know, I remember the NT. It was the 2A.
It was the final.
Yeah, 2A final. So to be able to see where you guys were at then, fast forward to playing against Jamesville DeWitt at the States, you know, I just felt like throughout the whole process, the team was just so together and, you know, really was in sync throughout everything. And, you know, but just such a dominant team at that, you know, to see a team. Well, first of all, this team is special to me because it was my very first state championship team to cover. So, you know, hats off to you guys for that. But, you know, to also just see how dominant they were. I mean, I want to say the last set of the state championship game, was it 25-11?
Yeah, it was 25. Yeah, 25-11.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, just to see. But that was like, that was, you know, those were run-of-the-mill type of, you know, performances for you guys. That was the average, you know what I mean? That just to see that, it wasn't like, oh, man, this is, you know, such a out-of-body performance. That was what we expected to see from this team. So, but one thing I did want to ask you about, Coach, was, you know, in pool play, you had the opportunity to know going into the state championship game that you had your spot secured and that you would be going up against JD, but you had to face off with them in pool play first. So you had the option of, okay, should I go with the starters or should I get these reserve guys in, let the starters rest, but also, you know, letting these young guys who haven't had the opportunity to play as much throughout the season get in there. So just thoughts on, you know, what that was like.
Yeah, that was it was a great spot to be in, to be, already know that we were in the final. So it was a conversation I had with my coaches and trying to discuss on what we wanted to do, you know, rest the starters, put some of the second players in, and, you know, we all agreed that, you know, we should give these guys a chance to play in the state court. I mean, they did a real good job with the venue, and it was a really cool experience. So it was really neat to get the guys that don't play much on the court and get them some playing time.
In volleyball, would that be comparable to in football we call what, you know, going vanilla on offense, not showing anything more? Would that be comparable for, I know there's no such, well, I guess there could be such things strategy-wise, even with your best players.
But. Oh, yeah, we do have strategy, and we do have offensive plays and stuff that we run. But, yeah, it was kind of going in vanilla, not showing any of our cards, even though they probably have already seen us play the match earlier, and they also probably had some film on us. But, yeah, it was pretty much going in, just kind of giving the other team, the backups, the opportunity, and going with the starters, giving them a break.
So it's almost like I know what I'm talking about, huh?
So, Coach, why don't you explain, because you just talked about pool play, right? So it's very different setup than what we just went through for the entire football season. They went through, if you remember, it goes sectional championships, Far West regionals, state semifinals, and then finals, right? So obviously, if you would have gone down that route, you would have played Jamesville DeWitt at the state semifinal championships is what you would have faced them, right? So obviously, it's set up a little differently. So why don't you tell everybody how that's set up?
Okay, so after we win our first our section title, which was against North Tonawanda, we had to play a crossover match. They call it to go to a regional game, which we had to play Eden, which we've never beaten before. So we ended up getting through Eden this year, winning the crossover match to go to regionals in Rochester, playing a team from Rochester, Churchville. Beating them in four in a regular game, and then going to states to play like a three-team pool. So our first game was West Hampton. We had to play right away in the morning, beat them the first two games, which was a close match. I mean, we didn't play our best game against them. And then we had to sit, and then Jamesville DeWitt played West Hampton, and they ended up beating them, so that eliminated West Hampton right off the bat. So then there was still a pool play game to still play against Jamesville DeWitt. And you know, we asked the tournament coordinator, do we play this? Do we not play this? And they're like, oh, we got to play it. So that's where we had the opportunity to rest the starters. I even talked to them a little bit. I'm like, what do you guys feel like you want to do? Do you want to go on and just beat them? Or do you want to just relax and wait until we get to that game for the final? And they wanted to wait for the final, and then, yeah, we gave the guys the opportunity to get on the court, too.
Wow, that's a great story. And it's good to everybody so they can understand the whole process along the way, because every sport has a different process to it. It's not cut and dry that this is how it is to get to a state championship for any sport. So they do it differently to set up because of the different sport and what people can do in one day.
And I think they're still looking for feedback on if they need to change the state tournament a little bit, because they asked, well, what did you think about having to play that? And I said, well, it's a good opportunity for the guys that don't get to play much to play in a state tournament like that. So there, it might change it next year. I'm not sure.
You know, one thing I wanted to ask, not only you, Coach, but you guys as players, you know, being able to get the monkey off your back with Eden, you know, a team that you guys have faced off with, you know, over the past few years. But also you, Coach, you said when you were a player for Grand Island, that was always the bully on the block as well.
Yeah, when I played back a long time ago, it was we went to the section finals too, and yeah, we lost both years, my junior and senior year, to Eden. So yeah, as a coach, it's always been in my mind, you know, it'd be nice to come back and play them and, you know, finally get through them. And I've been coaching for 19 years, so we've seen them quite a bit, and we've lost to them more than we've beaten them, and this was the first year to get through them finally.
How would have Eden, do you think, would have fared had they been successful with you? I guess I'm asking you, could the Eden Grand Island sectional final been the de facto state champion?
They very well could have been, yeah.
Nice. So let's talk to some of the players. So, Stack, let's start with you. Center, right?
Setter.
So, setter. So, you actually are setting up, obviously, your outside hitter that's sitting right next to you, right?
Yeah.
So, tell us, what's the key there? What are you looking for? And I assume that you're also looking for a nice hit from your outside player that's out there. But tell us a little bit of what you're looking for in that set position.
I think you got to find your matchups and you got to distribute the ball. Obviously, Billy had 500 or something more kills this year. But like, what made us successful in states is I think all the hitters stepped up to the game and they all got kills when we needed to. So spreading the ball around spreads the defense around and you can get single blocks and it's a lot easier for them to get kills. So putting hitters in good positions is kind of my job. And I thought we were pretty successful at the state tournament.
All right. So listen, every hitter's got to have his quirks, right? He's got to have it set up at a certain place. What is it?
Setter, if I put the ball in a tough spot, the hitters do give me a little mouthy response. But I think what made this team special this year is that most of the hitters were very adjustable to the sets, and they were able to get kills in wherever the ball was kind of put. And there was a lot less complaining this year. Obviously, we were doing a lot of winning, so there's not much complaining. But this team was special in that way that we all get along really well on the court, and we all work together as one kind of unit.
Nice. So where is it? Where's the spot? Where do you like it?
He just throws it up to me, and like, he knows that spot. It's a little inside, and Coach was always against it being inside.
Yeah.
But we kept going there because it was working, and
I mean, we've been playing together since seventh grade, so we have such good chemistry. And like he said, it wasn't just a single hand thing. It was the whole team. I mean, this year was so special. I'm gonna miss the guys so much, and it's just a great year.
But I'm also talking to two juniors right now.
Yeah.
Which means you've got a chance to come back and try to defend this championship, right?
Yeah.
So what's going to take to defend a state championship?
It's going to take more hard work next year. We're going to have to come in early over the summer like we did this year, play some more sand volleyball in the summer over Dave's house, and just put in the work on the off season, and then come in and work and just play our best volleyball.
Wait, so Dave's got a sand volleyball court at his house?
Yeah.
So in other words, that's where all the parties are, right?
Yeah. We always just like go there over the summer and we chill and we get like food. We go to the store, we bring it over to his house. We just play sand volleyball for a couple hours.
That's awesome. Yeah. So we're going to bring in Dave here too. So Dave, you're the senior of the group right now. So this was it for you right here. And if I'm correct, you are now committed to play at St. John Fisher right now, where you'll be going to play there. And I know, I was going to say, I think Kyrie knows something a little bit about them. So what did you take away from this year?
It was just a great year. Couldn't be better. Undefeated for the senior year. It was just amazing.
And what did you learn that you could take to the next level?
Just how much hard work and just effort, how far you can get with just that.
So explain to us this position right here, okay? When you first said it to me, I said, all right, listen, you're going to have to give me more detail here. So why don't you explain the position so that our listeners understand exactly what your role was.
So I'm the libero, and that means I just play in the back row pretty much the whole game, five out of the six rotations. And my job is just mostly serve-receive. So when the other team serves, I pass it to Zach. And then whenever they're trying to hit and spike it, my job is just to get it up so then we can run our offense off of that.
He's making that sound really easy. I mean, he's pretty much, passing is the most important part of our game. If you can't get a good pass to the setter, we can't run our offense. And without Dave consistently, he was passing almost the majority of the court besides Billy passing the other half of it. And then, defensively, he's reading the attackers, and if we don't put a block up, and he's got to try to dig the other offensive hitter on the other side, and then if they tip it, he's covering more court. I mean, he was moving all over the place, covering our hitters if they got blocked, getting the ball back up so we had another opportunity to put a ball away. So it's a tough position, even though he's strictly only back row. He's really good at it, real good at it.
Tom, I always turn my back when they're doing this, because the substitution, as much volleyball as I've watched over the years, and I still can't figure it out. I've seen where the libero goes out, a player comes in and goes over and gets substituted by another non-libero. And I'm saying, what is going on there? And you said five out of six services. So does that mean you're able to be on there for five out of six and still not have to play the front line?
Yep, I switch out with the middles. So then when one middle goes to the back row, I take their position, and then the other middle will go in the front row. And then I serve for one of the middles, but then the other middle has to serve because I can't serve twice.
Yeah, it's
learning something. Like I say, the substitution just drives me up a wall. I says, I'll take your word for it, people. Fine, you're doing great.
Well, see, that really kind of gets rid of the substitution with having the libero position because they can just come on and off. The only time you really sub in is if you needed a bigger or a different front row player, then they have to sub in and out before he comes back on. But it just saves on substitutions because he doesn't have to come on. He's got the bright red shirt on usually on there and see me. But they try to avoid him, but they usually can't.
So obviously, volleyball's gotten real big around here, especially since the Olympics. Well, we've actually had somebody from Western New York there representing us in the Olympics. So we're seeing more and more. Are we seeing more and more down at the younger levels, volleyball starting to become bigger? I know we've got some different facilities here where volleyball is played. I know West Seneca's got a huge facility over there.
Yeah, the BNCC, they do club volleyball. Yeah, it's growing, especially on the boys' side. I mean, girls' side has always been big. The boys' side is getting bigger. Even at like the college levels, they're adding more programs. There's new programs. I know we had a couple of my guys are getting looked at for Potsdam, and they're a new program this year. So the game's growing here in Western New York. I think it's growing it's getting bigger. We could get some more schools added. I think the Buffalo schools added new programs this year for boys volleyball. So yeah, it's growing.
So Zach and Billy, you guys are juniors right now. Yeah. You're in the process of going through the recruiting process right now. So Do both of you want to play at the next level?
I definitely want to play at the next level, and I'm pretty sure he does too.
Yeah, I would like to play at the next level too.
Yeah. Okay. So
have you started the tours yet?
A little bit. It's kind of like there's this tryout, and you like try out for USA Volleyball, and there you get a lot of scouts. And then also club, you go to tournaments, and scouts will go there, and they'll talk to you. So but I don't know if it's the same for any other sport, but you have to be 11th grade in order for them to talk to you.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you don't start your tours and where do you like, but you're actually trying out for Team USA?
It's kind of like that. So there's like this A1, A2, A3, and you try out, and A1's like some of the best kids in the country, and you go there, and Zach actually went there this year, so He was a big guy over there. And then A2, A3, it just it goes down and down, and then A3 it stops. So there's like thousands of kids that try out every year, and Zach and I were fortunate enough to make A1 and A2.
So you played A1?
Yeah, I played at the A1 tournament in Fort Lauderdale this summer.
Now, why don't you explain to everybody what that is? A1, so you actually went down, competed for Team USA is what you did? How did that work? Explain
so
the
there
tournament.
Was a tryout in Harrisburg. That's where one of the club tournaments, like one of the big club tournaments is for the Northeastern. So I tried out there in February, and the results came back in April. And they separate you on those three levels. And the A1 camp was 10 days in Fort Lauderdale. So the first 5 days were like a practice. And then they separate you into five different teams. And then the last 5 days are a tournament, and you compete with the other kids on your team against like the regional teams. So this region is WEVA for club. So WEVA had a team go down there, and like they would compete against like the USA teams. So that's kind of how it worked out.
Wow, that's fantastic. It just shows that how big volleyball is here in Western New York and Grand Island obviously representing there. So we're upon a break right now. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR 550. We'll be back after the break with more from our state championship team from Grand Island.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back with Inside High School Sports. I'm Tom Prince, and again, I want to do our best well wishes to Tony Caligiuri, who's out sick. Tony, get better. We need you back here at the show next week. And I am joined here by, everybody knows, Roger Weiss, Kyrie Demos, and then we've got our state championship team from Grand Island, Coach Bill Schultz, Coach Sean Quinn, Zach Kramer, setter, Billy Weaver, outside hitter, and Dave Wynn, who's libero. Did I say that right? All right, libero, in the known as the back row, your defensive specialist. And then real quick, we hear that the Junior Sabres 10U hockey team is out there listening to us. We want to give them a quick shout out as they travel to their big tournament down in Pittsburgh. But real quick, as what we want to make sure that we do is talk about, you've had some great games along the way, right? So Zach, you alluded to on the break that you had a great game against West Seneca. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that game?
So we played West Seneca West in the regular season, and we kind of took care of them. Thought they were going to give us a bigger fight, but when we showed up to sectionals, we knew they would be ready to go for us. And they came out and took the first two sets for us, and it was kind of the first adversity we faced all year. So behind the great fan section we had that night, we ended up coming back, winning the last three games to take it. And I think Billy broke a school record that night. He had 36 kills, which is a single game record. So he had a huge performance that night.
A school record or section record? What was that?
I think it was a school record.
School record.
Yeah. The most kills in a game.
Wow, that is awesome.
In a game or in a match?
In a match, yeah.
I was going to say 36
in a
kills
game, that's something,
game.
Right? So obviously a big come-from-behind victory right there. What led to the change? I mean, you feel in a game like that, momentum changes, right? There had to be that momentum change that happened in that game. What was it?
Well, game one and two, we kind of blew big leads, and we came out game three and we were down, but we ended up coming back and winning that game 26-24, I believe. And I think from there we knew we could do it. The fans were awesome that night. They were really loud. They got us going again. And once we won game four, we kind of felt that like we were going to win this game. Billy, I think, had like 10 kills in game five. He just kept going and going. And to come back and win that game was awesome. And I think from that point, it kind of tested us as a group, and we knew we could do anything as a group, and that led to the state championship run.
That's great. So,
quick question. Game five, do you guys play the 15 or the 25?
15.
Who comes up with these brilliant ideas? It would be like you play four games 25 to win or by two, mm-hmm. and then the fifth game it's 15. That is comparable to Game 7 of the World Series playing six innings. Who comes up with these ideas?
But you got time to think that one out, though.
Tom, you're baseball, you of all people. Yep. It would be like the final game of the sectionals being a five-inning game.
Right. No, I totally get where you're coming from.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about the Eden game, Billy. Yeah. You know, you guys, obviously, being able to beat those guys, but you guys lose the first game. And, I mean, you guys handled them the next three.
Yeah.
And especially, I want to say, game three, I think you guys were going back and forth. Or game two, you guys were going back and forth. And then game three, you could really see the air was just deflating from them. And then game four, I mean, it was just, you guys, I think you guys got off to like a 9-0, 10-0 lead. And, I mean, really just never looked back from there.
Yeah. So during the year, we saw Eden play and all that. And they were a really good team. We knew that, like, they were a team to beat. And we've never beat them before, so... Mm-hmm. It was going to be a task, and we saw it. And so we studied some film. We saw some of their strengths. They had some star players out there that we play club with. We know what they do. And we went out there. Game one was a little rough. We let their star players take over the game. And then game two, game three, we started to fight back, and it was a close game. And then game four, we just kind of like took it away and just sealed it.
For sure. What do you think was the most crucial thing about that, you know, being able to, I mean, you guys really just imposed your will down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the energy. I mean, like Zach said, we get a lot of fans at our games, mm-hmm. so we're really blessed with that, and it's awesome because the amount of support we got was just like pushing us and pushing us and pushing us. And I mean, even at the state finals, kids drove, what, five hours?
Yeah.
So we filled up a whole fan bus of 40 kids. Go 5 hours with us.
Clearly the deepest student section there.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close. You know, so you love to see GI travel like that.
Yeah, we're all so close over there, and it's just amazing. This school is awesome.
So, Billy, let me ask you a question. Eden, we've already talked about it a couple times. Mm-hmm. It was kind of that nemesis, right? That hump that you had to get over.
Yeah.
Even coach had lost to him, right?
Yeah.
So you go down first set. When did you guys start believing this said, wow, we can win this. We can come take the next step.
Yeah, I think even though we lost the first game, we still thought we could win and all because we were a very good team, a very strong team. We just knew what we had to do that. And I think we did that in the second, third, and fourth game.
So what did Coach do in the huddle? You lose the first one, right?
Yeah,
Coach. What does Coach do in that huddle to change things?
He was calm, and he came into the huddle, and he told us exactly what we need to do like he always does. He's a great coach. I mean, you can't really ask for anything better out of a coach. He knows exactly what to say, when to say it, and just to get the boys amped up.
That's awesome. So, Coach, what did you really say in there?
I got in there and I said, you know, let's just calm down a little bit. Eden came out and they were playing almost a perfect game. And I know I had a couple blockers that on the right side trying to slow their pins down, and they were getting frustrated. I said, just keep doing what you're doing. We'll figure it out. We'll work through this. And I think they went and believed on that, and we did. We started turning things around. Their hitters started doing things they don't normally do, and then we started transitioning them into points. And then Billy, I mean, I moved Billy around. I had him on the outside, but then I threw him in the middle to block the left sides a little bit, and then we ran offense through the middle. And, you know, they tried to stop that, but it was a different look that they weren't really expecting. So
that's awesome.
Coach, I just wanted to ask you real quick, because this is a direct quote from yourself. You said that this guy to the right of me was the best player in Western New York. You know, just being able to have a guy like him, being able to have a guy like Billy, you know, and what did you see in his game that allowed him to take it to the next level this season?
You know, he's working hard in games, and he you could see he started to believe in himself more and more towards the end of the season, and just the versatility. I could put him. I could keep him on the left side, but if I want to put him in the middle, if I want to put him in the right side, I could. He's still a good passer, strong defensive player. You know, he doesn't really have too many weak spots in his game. A little bit more consistent on the serving, but other than that, yeah, he's a really talented player, and I hope he keeps driving to keep going because he's got more work to go to be able to get a Division I player, you know?
In other words, the key would be never rest on your laurels. Yeah. Keep trying to, you know, get one step higher than you've achieved.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Dave, one more game. You get past there. You go on to Churchville Chilai, right? The game to get to the state championship. What happens there?
So we started off slow, pretty much like we did against every team, and we lost the first one by a couple. But then the next three, we're able to win pretty easily.
So the theme here is that you guys seem to lose the first game and then come back from there. Was that like something that needed to get you guys going?
What was your question?
Well, no, the fact is you lose the first game. Now you got them right where you want them, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Playing hustling them a little bit, you know?
Yep. We just had to make some adjustments and then take it from there.
Well, game one against Churchville Chilai, I kind of did mess up the lineup, so that could be my fault on the Churchville Chilai one, yeah. So,
all right, guys. So then you get to the state championship, right? You get a chance to play Jamesville DeWitt. You obviously, we talked about it earlier, where you had a chance to play kind of a one game, which was a pool play game, but you knew you were already going to the state championship. The game really didn't have much meaning, the first one, right? The second one was the one that had the big meaning to it, right? Yeah. So what were you looking at in game one to get you prepared for game two?
Well, we knew they were a strong team. We watched a lot of film on them, and they were good. So we put out our backups out there, and we love the whole team. It's not just the starters and the backups. I mean, it's like the whole team together. It's really special. So we watched them. They were playing all right, and then they subbed out some of their starters, so we didn't really get much of a look on that. So we had to come out hot in that championship game to like figure out what they were made of. And I think we did a good job of that. We hopped on them really early. Got out to a quick, what was it, like 4-0 service lead. Then we just carried it on.
Oh, so this was one you actually took the lead on.
Yeah.
Totally the opposite of what you did.
This was like such a dominant effort all the way through. I mean, just seeing what they did the whole in the championship game itself, it was just one of the most dominant performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was the best I've seen them play. You could tell that they were ready to win this match, and they were not going to lose to them, and they wanted a state title. They just took over.
That's great. Well, we want to congratulate you guys on a fantastic season, on out there winning a state championship. It is not easy to do, and the fact that you guys did it and overcame so many things along the way just is a testament of how great this team was, how great the coaching staff was. We'd like to thank you for listening to Inside High School Sports. We'll be followed by Sports Talk Saturday from 11 to 2, and then 4 o'clock, the Sabres will be on. So please keep listening to WGR. And again, thank you for listening to Inside High School Sports.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.